Psalms to 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Shall we pray before we look at God's word together? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you that these are your words. Lord, we ask now that by your Holy Spirit you would help us to listen carefully, to chew on your words, that we might know how you want us to respond individually and together as your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wonder, do you ever find yourself talking to yourself? Obviously some of you do. And I do, and there's two places where I find that I do that particularly. One is at work, when I'm engulfed in my emails on my desk, and I get an email, and you know, I don't particularly like what's in it, or the person that's written it, or how they've written it, and I might say something out loud to myself, which really should have stayed inside my head. Or the other one for me is when I'm out jogging. I try to go out two or three mornings a week. I won't call it running, I'm only going to call it jogging, I'm not claiming anymore. And as I'm, you know, halfway round, three quarters around, I have to talk to myself. I have to say, come on, Dave, you can do it. You can get home. Come on, before you die, get home. And if any of you have seen me out running in the morning, you'll know it is not a pretty sight. So those two, oh, actually, there's probably a third one. Third one, sometimes, occasionally at home, when the tension's a bit high, an A-list says to me, are you talking to me, Dave? And I say, no, I'm talking to myself. Sure, you've all done that. Yes, I'm the only one who understands me anyway, so there we go. So as we touched on earlier, as we did the activity with Peter and Sue, King David, with the writer of Psalm 103, he starts by talking to himself. He says, praise the Lord, my soul, he says in verse 1. Now this type of talking to himself is more like that urging that I was talking about when I run along. It's as David comes to worship the Lord God, he talks to himself. He urges his soul, or we, as I said earlier, sometimes we say our soul or our heart, our innermost being, the life within us that animates us, that God has given us. He urges his innermost being to praise God, to praise God's holy name. And then he goes on to urge himself to remember what God has done for him in his life. God's benefits, as he calls them in verse 2, so that his praise of God increases in intensity as he goes on. And as he does that, his aim is for the rest of those who he's worshipping with will want to join him in lifting their praise to God. It's a great and it's a really simple pattern that we can follow each week as we come together like this, or in smaller assemblies, smaller groups, home groups and so on, that we can use as we worship God together. Talk to yourself, remind yourself, encourage others. Especially when our mood or our circumstances might be a distraction from praising God. Now, you know, the whole of Psalm 103, there's a whole raft of fantastic stuff in there. But today I'm going to concentrate on one thing, really, in these 12 verses. I want us to concentrate on the core purpose that David wrote this psalm. It's about praising God and how David's approach can help us to do what God calls us to do if we follow him, to praise the Lord, or as it says in some other translations, to bless the Lord. to speak or to sing or to pray, to use words about God, about the Lord with thanksgiving and adoration and praise and wonder and love, and to really mean it. Praise is to give God what he deserves because of who he is, because of his character. Although, as we'll come on to, we thank and praise him as well for all the things that he's done for us, his benefits, as David calls it in the psalm, the starting point is always that he is God, that he is holy. He's always worthy of our praise. Whether or not he chooses to give us things or to do things for us, he is always worthy of our praise. So it's crucial that when we come together to worship, we have to come with the right attitude of heart, with the right focus, ready to bless God, however we feel. And you know, sometimes our feelings change a lot. I know mine do. We change a lot. And we don't always feel like it. But God doesn't change. He is always worthy of receiving our praise. So let's look at these three aspects, these three steps, maybe we could call them, as we seek to see if King David's structure used to help God's people to praise God then can still be a help to us in our worship today. Talking to yourself, reminding yourself, encouraging each other. So back to verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. How do you feel about urging yourself like that? Come on, soul. Come on, heart. Join with the words that are coming out of my mouth so that I can give God everything. Do you think that's ever necessary for you? Or every week that you come along to worship God, do you give him everything, wholehearted worship, everything about you in worship? I know for me there are times when that's not the case. I come to church in a rush. Maybe I'm a bit grumpy for some reason. I get into a conversation with somebody about the leaking roof. I get halfway through the service and I can't remember what songs I've sang. I've gone through the motions of praising the Lord, praising the Almighty Holy God, but actually I've not worshipped him at all. I've not given him what he deserves. If I'm honest, I'm sure there are weeks like, you know, the song that we started off today, I've sung songs like Holy God Almighty, who was and is to come. I've sung that with my lips, but my heart's been somewhere else completely. That's not sincere worship, that's not sincere praise, and it's probably hypocritical. That's not what God deserves, and that's not what God expects. And David, as he wrote this psalm, he knew about that danger. Later in the psalm, from verse 7 onward, as he looks back to Moses' time, the people of Israel of that time, people of God of that time under Moses during the Exodus and so on, he looks back to where the people were appearing to worship God, but actually their lives were portraying that wasn't the case at all. That's why King David urges himself to ensure that he doesn't fall into that trap. He doesn't want his praise of the Lord to be hypocritical. He wants it to come from his heart. And you know, it's not easy to plead with yourselves to praise God, especially if we are distracted by something else, a circumstances or an illness or somebody else in our lives or whatever. It's not easy. You know, we have to admit that actually, you know, God's more important than us, and I need to urge myself to worship him. David knew it, so he wrote the psalm. It's our responsibility. If we've given our lives to the Lord Jesus, it's our responsibility as God's chosen, holy people to find a way of discipline that works for us so that our praise of God is from the heart. Sometimes that will come naturally. It's brilliant. You walk into church, it's a great buzz. We start singing and you just feel that you're in heaven with the Lord. It's great. But other times we need to talk and urge ourselves to praise God. And to do this, we need to speak directly and forcefully to our hearts rather than just listen to our heart. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, my heart sometimes is saying to me, I'm fed up. I can't be bothered. I've not been treated very nice by a son, so I'm not going to praise God today. I can't be bothered. But we need to speak truth to our hearts and say, yeah, who is it you've come here to worship? I've come to worship the living, holy God. Doesn't matter what I feel like, he deserves my praise. You know, when we put services together, service leaders, Andrew and other musicians and so on, you probably notice, as we did today, we often start our service with a song that helps us to focus on God, on the holiness of God, the greatness of God. Because we know we all come from different places and we need help to urge ourselves to give ourselves completely to God in worship. But you may be a person that needs a bit more urging. You need to urge your soul a little bit more in different ways. It may be that when you get up in the morning, you need to read the Bible passage for Sunday before you come along. It may be that when you get here to church, you need to spend time quietly in prayer. I saw people doing that earlier. It was wonderful. It was just wonderful. I felt God was really sort of confirming something for me there. People just sitting quietly, praying, thinking, you know, I want to give everything to you, Lord. If we can discipline ourselves to urge ourselves like that, to ask God to take away the distractions, because we want to lift his name as high as we possibly can. So talk to yourself, urge yourself, so that your whole being is praising God. And then secondly, and this is what David does next in our psalm, we can remind yourself of God's benefits, so our praise comes from deeper but lifts the Lord higher. Having urged himself to recognise that he's praising the holy living God, he then goes on to praise God for the things that God has done. Firstly in his life, and then from about verse 6, for the whole people of God. When you go home, you have a look at the whole psalm, Psalm 103. And between about verse 3 and 19, there's something like 17 different reasons that David remembers to thank God for. It's more if you count. Some of them look like one in two, but you know, it's 20 odd. It's amazing. Ensuring that we do not forget all the benefits of God is vital as we worship him and live our lives for him. You'll know if you come to our prayer meetings at St. Patrick's, different types of prayer meetings. You know that we have a rule. Well, it's not a rule. That sounds a bit legalistic, doesn't it? We have it is a rule, isn't it? We have a rule, guidance. And we say, right, for the first section of our prayer meeting, it's going to be given over completely to thanksgiving. Some people struggle with that because they want to just pray straight away to God. I do sometimes. But by spending that time in thanksgiving and praise of God before we jump in with requests, we recognise God, we praise God for the person we're coming to pray to. And that then gives us more confidence about our prayers anyway, because we've reminded ourselves of who it is we are praying to. As you'll see in verses 3 to 5 of the psalm, David reminds himself of a number of things: that God has saved him, that God has forgiven his sins, that God has healed his spiritual and physical diseases, that God has poured his love and compassion into David's life, that he's provided for him, that he's renewed his strength when he was weak. Our list of thanks will have those common themes, but you know what's really worthwhile is to add our own specific things where God has worked specifically in our lives and add those to our list, so that they're always there for you to draw on when you come to worship God, or when you're sitting in God's presence, to remind you what he's already done for you, so that you can praise him. And then, as I said, from verse 6, David widens his focus to remember how all those things that apply to him apply to all God's people, because he's part of a bigger picture. He's part of a bigger picture because of the result of God's amazing, unbounding love for his people, his commitment to his people, his commitment to love and righteousness and justice for his people. And David has the people, as I mentioned earlier, he's got the people of Israel under Moses in his mind here, when they escaped from captivity in Egypt and then the Exodus. He's got it in mind completely. When he writes this psalm, he's thinking back to when Moses asked God to tell him his name. And if you look in Exodus chapter 34, 6, where God reveals his name to Moses, he passes by Moses and God says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. It's what David has put into Psalm 103, remembering him for him and for those he's worshipping with, that big key moment of God's love and compassion to his people, so that the level of praise could be raised. For us, we can draw on not just that key moment, but we can draw on the pivotal moment in the whole of human history. Because we've got the amazing privilege of being able to see God in his fullness, to see the fulfillment of all God's promises in the Lord Jesus. When we urge our souls to praise the Lord, it's to urge us to forget not the cross, to forget not Jesus' death for us, the place where God's love and justice and righteousness and mercy and grace, they all come together, where God didn't treat us as our sins deserved, where Jesus was crushed for you and for me, taking the penalty of death that we all deserve. So that if we commit to trust in Jesus, if we're willing to recognise that we're rebels against God and accept the free gift of Jesus' death on the cross for us, our sins are completely forgiven as God looks at us through Jesus. Just as that wonderful symbolic portrait of God's forgiveness says in verse 12 of our psalm, as far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our sins. East and west, if you just keep walking east, you never get to west. That's how far it is, it's just infinite. God has forgotten our sins, he's forgiven us. If we believe in Jesus, he's forgiven us and he's forgotten our sins. And that's something that we can thank him for all the time, so that our praise is lifted to him. And of course, Jesus doesn't leave us there. His own words in the New Testament, we can read that he says he's going to be with us always. He's not going to leave us. He's going to be with us by his Holy Spirit now. He's going to be with us if he calls us to him in our death. He's going to be with us forever when he comes back in justice and glory. Verse 17 of our psalm picks this up for us. The commitment of God made to Moses, the commitment of God to his people in the time of David, and the commitment that Jesus makes to those who have put his trust in him, put our trust in him, you and me. Psalm 103 says it's from everlasting to everlasting. So we talk to ourselves and we remind ourselves, and then in turn that leads us to very, very briefly the last aspect, but no less important, encouraging each other to worship God together. When we come together to worship the Lord, it's our responsibility to encourage each other to worship God, so that we can praise him, lift his name as much as and as high as we're capable of, individually and as his people, as his body. Urging ourselves to give everything to him will encourage each other, especially when we're struggling to do the same. It's why we put effort into our music and our people on our sound and our visuals and welcome, and all that's part of our worship. And then individually we want to give it all to God, because someone sitting next to us is not feeling so great. They suddenly can realise they're in the presence of God. Yes, I want to praise God as well, whatever my circumstances. Our praise will be amazing. God wants 100% of each one of us to praise him. And you know, he gives each of us each other to help us do that, which I just think is so brilliant. Praise the Lord, my soul, and your souls. Praise his holy name. Amen.